Nam namaskritya nam cheva nirottamam devyam sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 22. Chapter entitled The Marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti, text number 19. Ato bhajishe samayena sadvim.
Ato bhajishe samayena sadvim.
Yavat tejo bibriyat atmano me.
Yavat tejo bibriyat atmano me.
Ato daman parama. Hamsa mukhyam.
Ato daman paramahamsa mukhyam.
Shukla proktan bahu manye vihimshan.
Shukla proktan bahu manye vihimshan.
Ato bhajishe samayena sadvim.
Ato bhajishe samayena sadvim.
Yavat tejo bibriyat atmano me. Ato daman paramahamsa mukhyam.
Ato daman paramahamsa mukhyam.
Shukla proktan bahu manye vihimsram.
Shukla proktan bahu manye vihimsram.
Ato bhajishe samayena sadvim.
Ato bhajishe samayena sadvim.
Yavatejo bibriyat atmano me.
Yavatejo bibriyat atmano me.
Ato daman paramahamsa mukhyam.
Ato daman paramahamsa mukhyam.
Shukla proktan bahu manye vihimsram.
Shukla proktan bahu manye vihimsram.
Ata. Therefore,
Prajishe,
I shall accept. Samayena,
on the conditions.
Sadvim, the chaste girl.
Yavat,
until.
Teja,
semen.
Vibrijyat.
May bear.
Atmana.
From my body. May. My.
Atta.
Thereafter.
Dharma.
The duties.
Paramahamsa Mukhyam.
Of the best of the Paramahamsas.
Shukla Proktan.
Spoken by Lord Vishnu.
Bahu.
Much.
Manye.
I shall consider.
Avihimsran.
Free from envy. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. Therefore I shall accept this chaste girl as my wife, on the condition that after she bears semen from my body, I shall accept the life of devotional service accepted by the most perfect human beings. That process was described by Lord Vishnu. It is free from envy. Translation responsibly. Therefore I shall accept this chaste girl as my wife.
Therefore I shall accept this chaste girl as my wife.
On the condition that after she bears semen from my body. I shall accept the life of devotional service. Accepted by the most perfect human beings. That process was described by Lord Vishnu. It is free from envy. Kardama Muni expressed his desire for a very beautiful wife to Emperor Swayambhuva and accepted the emperor's daughter for marriage. Kardama Muni was in the hermitage practicing complete celibacy as a brahmachari. And although he had the desire to marry, he did not want to be a householder for the whole span of his life because he was conversant with the Vedic principles of human life. According to Vedic principles, the first part of life should be utilized in brahmacharya for the development of character and spiritual qualities. In the next part of life, one may accept a wife and beget children, but one should not beget children like cats and dogs. Kardama Muni desired to beget a child who would be a ray of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should not beget a child who can perform the duties of Vishnu, otherwise there is no need to produce children. There are two kinds of children born of good fathers. One is educated in Krishna consciousness so that he can be delivered from the clutches of Maya in that very life. And the other is a ray of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and teaches the world the ultimate goal of life. As will be described in later chapters, Kardama Muni begot such a child, Kapila, the incarnation of the Personality of Godhead, who enunciated the philosophy of Sankhya. Great householders pray to God to send his representatives so that there may be an auspicious movement in human society. This is one reason to beget a child. Another reason is that a highly enlightened parent may train a child in Krishna consciousness so that the child will not have to come back to this miserable world. Parents should see to it that the child born of them does not enter the womb of the mother again. Unless one can train a child for liberation in that life, there is no need to marry or produce children. If human society produces children like cats and dogs for the disturbance of social order, then the world becomes hellish, as it has in this age of Kali. In this age, neither parents nor their children are trained. Both are materialistic, both are animalistic and simply eat, sleep, mate, and defend and gratify their senses. This disorder in social life cannot bring peace to human society. Kardama Muni explains beforehand that he would not associate with the girl Devahuti for the whole duration of his life. He would simply associate with her until she had a child. In other words, sex life should be utilized only to produce a nice child, not for any other purpose. Human life is especially meant for complete devotion to the service of the Lord. That is the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya. After fulfilling his responsibility to produce a nice child, one should take sannyas and engage in the perfectional Paramahamsa stage. Paramahamsa refers to the most highly elevated perfectional stage of life. There are four stages within sannyas life, and Paramahamsa is the highest order. The Srimad Bhagavatam is called the Paramahamsa Samhita, the treatise for the highest class of human beings. The Paramahamsa is free from envy. In other stages, even in the householder stage of life, there is competition and envy. But since the activities of the human being in the Paramahamsa stage are completely engaged in Krishna consciousness or devotional service, there is no scope for envy. In the same order as Kardama Muni, 100 years ago, Thakur Bhaktivinoda also wanted to beget a child who could preach the philosophy and teachings of Lord Chaitanya to the fullest extent. By his prayers to the Lord, he had as his child Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, who at the present moment is preaching the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya throughout the entire world through his bona fide disciples. Omigyan Tivadandasya Kananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manubhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kaupatarubhyascha Kripa Sundubhi Evacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Vada Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama
Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this section of the Bhagavatam is probably the most famous section for instructions on Grihastha Dharma, or how to live as a Grihastha in this material world. The reality is that most people in human society are in the Grihastha Ashram. Not necessarily the most desirable outcome, but it's just the way it is. Prabhupada explains that in the material world, three modes of material nature are present, but the most prominent is passion. And then Krishna says, Rajaguna Samudvava, born from passion is desire, kama. So you have desires in this material world, and that is stemming from passion. So the nature of passion is that it wants to achieve, it wants to expand, it wants to accumulate. The volume is good. It was good before. The way it was before. It's a little bit loud now. It's a little bit loud. Yeah, take it down just a touch. It was good before. So the nature of the material world is that everyone is in the mode of passion, and that becomes predominant. And then when it's predominant, everyone desires to expand more and more and more. And therefore, people, they become influenced by the mode of passion, and they enter into Grihastha Ashram. Grihastha Ashram is a symbol of that desire for sense gratification. Srila Prabhupada said that we need Grihastha Ashram as much as we need a material body. So, do you need a material body? We don't need a material body. Material body is here by choice. We want the material body. You want to enjoy separately from Krishna. You have desires to enjoy separately from Krishna. And Krishna gives you a material body to fulfill your desires to enjoy separately from Him. But you don't need the material body. That's a choice that we make. We desire it. Therefore, Krishna facilitates that. So, Prabhupada says that Grihastha Ashram is the same. You don't need Grihastha Ashram. You don't need a wife and children and expansion of paraphernalia. Deha Pacha Kala Tradishi. Everything expands from the deha, or this bodily concept that I need to enjoy separately from Krishna. You don't need that. But because you are desiring that, then Krishna gives that facility. So Grihastha Ashram is for that. So, as we've said many times, you can only get out of the material world when you understand that you are in the material world. If you don't recognize your desires, you cannot overcome your desires. And we see quite often, not quite often, but occasionally, sometimes we see, that people try to strive for renunciation which is beyond their realization. Sometimes people try to stay renounced and stay in saffron and stay in the renounced order of life, but it's beyond their realization. They don't have the realization to actually. And then you see quite often in old age they become eccentric. They become a little socially abnormal. And that is because they have not fulfilled the material desires properly. So the actual platform on which we have to perform Krishna consciousness is to recognize your material desires. If you don't recognize your attachments and purify them, then you cannot get out of the material world. Just like in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, last night we were discussing in the 11th chapter the demon whose name is Vatsa Sura. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches us in Chaitanya Shikshamrita that each of the demons in Braj Leela, in Krishna's Leela, they represent a particular anartha. So Vatsa means calf. It means like small. Calves are very playful. Right? Just like children are very playful. You know, they like to jump and they like to run. So Vatsasura is representing that childish desire for just unrestricted sense gratification. I just want to do whatever I want, whenever I want. That's what a child is like. If you let the child go, they'll just do whatever they want, whenever they want. I can just do anything. I just enjoy myself unlimitedly. And when you become an adult, it doesn't necessarily go away, that anatta. You see adults, they go through their midlife crisis or whatever they go through. I just want to do whatever I want, whenever I want. You can't stop me. And you see, actually, I've noticed even in ISKCON, even in my own life, sometimes it happens when people get to around about the age of 40, they go through like a midlife crisis. What have I done with my life? I gave so much to Krishna. I restricted my senses. Now I just want to enjoy. I just want to be like a little kid. I can do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want. You can't tell me. I will do. So then they have that experience. So this is an anartha. So then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he writes an entire article about this particular anartha. And he says that the way to purify the anartha in both children and in adults is you have to dovetail everything in Krishna's service. You want to enjoy. There's no restriction to enjoyment in one sense. If you want to enjoy, you enjoy, but enjoy in Krishna's service. Hands up if you find Krishna consciousness enjoyable. Okay, almost everybody in the room. It is enjoyable. You have to enjoy. If you don't enjoy yourself as a devotee, you'll go back outside. Prabhupada said, I think Prabhupada was sitting just up in that room. Prabhupada said that we are social by nature. So we need interaction. We need friendships. And my Guru Maharaj, I remember he mentioned this a number of times in his classes. If you don't develop deep friendships, loving friendships, meaningful friendships, satisfying, fulfilling friendships in Krishna consciousness, you will go outside. And Prabhupada said that. If you don't have close relationships with the devotees, you'll go out with the non-devotees. That's natural. Because you're feeling, I'm not getting it from the devotees, so I need it from the non-devotees. You need it from someone. So we all have this desire to enjoy. But enjoyment must come through Krishna consciousness. Like Prabhupada said, you know, every day at my ashram, then I have a calendar. So every day you turn over the calendar and Prabhupada has a new quote. So not long ago I turned it over. And then Prabhupada said that something to the effect that everyone wants to dance in the association of young boys and young girls. Hands up if you like to do that. Dance with young boys and young girls. Okay, one person, two honest people. Brahmacharis can't say it, because all the other brahmacharis are looking at them. Hey, you said you wanted to dance with young boys and girls. Brahmacharis, you have to be a little bit fanatical as brahmacharis. It's good. Burujan Puru, remember he said this in class many years ago. As brahmacharya, you have to be a little bit, not too much. If you're too fanatical, that's not good. You have to be a little fanatical. To maintain brahmacharya in Kali Yuga, it's not so easy. When I was a brahmachari, we went to Tasmania. We were distributing books like that. So we went, myself, Atul Krishna Prabhu, Bringar, and Bhakta Peter. So we went down to Tasmania. And we all got up, we've been staying in the caravan park. So we got up 4 in the morning and go to take bath. And then went to the toilet block, and there's men's toilets and ladies' toilets. And the men's toilets, the light was broken, so it was dark. So the three devotees, they got up, they went, brahmacharis, they went and took bath. They went took bath in the dark, but you know, I got up, it was 4:30 in the morning, I got up just after them. So I thought to myself, I'm not going to go take bath in the dark, I'm just going to the women's toilet and take bath, you know. No one's around. 4:30 in the morning, no one's there. Stay sure. So I come back, and they're all chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna. And I walk in, you know, getting dressed. And then they said, you know, I could feel the energy in the room. And they said, which bathroom did you take bath in? And I said, in the ladies' one. They all went, they wouldn't talk to me for half a day. Like some big fall down, you know. So yeah, at least I can clean myself and I've got some light. You know? You guys in the dark, you know, kind of, you know, like that. So that's fanatical. That's fanatical. And it's interesting because, you know, all those boys now, including myself, are all Grihasthas. So it's all, you know, we can be all fanatical, but then what's the point? So, Prabhupada says that we like to dance in the association of young boys and young girls. But Prabhupada said, if you want the real pleasure, then you go to Krishna's pastimes. And Krishna is dancing with young boys, young girls. They are dancing together. But Prabhupada said, that is spiritual reality. So if you want that, then go and do it with Krishna. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, if you have material desires, we all like to enjoy. We all like to have good fun. Right? We like to. We have that enjoying spirit, anandamaya biyasat. It is in our soul. The nature of the soul is to experience ananda, bliss. But if you want to experience bliss, do it in Krishna's service. Dance and chant with the devotees for Krishna. Take prasadam with the devotees for Krishna. Associate with the devotees. Like that. And then it becomes enjoyable. Actually, our enjoyment is greater than the enjoyment in the material world. That's why we stay here. But you have to get pleasure. But the pleasure must be in Krishna's service. And just like before, we're all dancing in kirtan. So we're enjoying it. Yeah? We're all together, you know, locking arms, and we're enjoying it. Same as in the spiritual world, everyone does it. It says in the Rasa Leela, they all lock arms. But the whole point is that when we do kirtan, what is the point of the kirtan? Krishna is in the center. The holy name is in the center. I see some of the boys doing dancing, right? Doing their jumping and all like that, but not chanting the holy name. That's not the point. If you want to go to the jump, then just go and jump. You know, go down to Albert Park Lake and run around the lake and just jump. If that's what you want to do, enjoy yourself, then do it. But in kirtan, you must be chanting the holy name. And then if you feel like jumping from the stimulation or from the ecstasy, which is arising naturally from the chanting, then jump and dance, that's okay. No problem. But Krishna must be in the center. Otherwise, it's just egocentric. Otherwise, it's just your false ego. You're enjoying on the platform the mind, the body, the intellect, the false ego. But spiritual enjoyment is it must be coming from the soul. And it's for Krishna's pleasure. Yayatma superseded tea. If you're not chanting, then what are you doing? If you're not absorbed in the holy name, then what are you doing? This part of the Bhagavatam is explaining to us the intricacies of Grihastha Ashram. Okay, you're in the material world. Now, you have to get out of the material world. So you go through a Grihastha Ashram, but in a regulated way. Grihastha Ashram is a license for sense gratification. Basically, you want sex life. Sex life means you want to associate with the opposite sex. Okay, you can do it, but it must be regulated. You are given the opportunity to associate with one person intimately. So you can associate with one man, one woman. As a Grihastha, you can't just associate with any male or female. Right? There is a license which is given to you, and you have to follow the system. And even within Grihastha Ashram, there has to be regulation. It doesn't mean you can just do whatever you want within the association of the opposite sex. So Prabhupada says that before Grihastha Ashram comes Brahmachari life. Now what is Brahmachari life for? Why do we go through Brahmachari Ashram? That has to be there before Grihastha Ashram. Prabhupada says here, in Brahmacharya, for the development of character and spiritual qualities. That's why you become a Brahmachari. You develop character and spiritual qualities. What is the character that you need to develop? Submission and dependence upon the spiritual master. This is spoken of in the 7th canto by Narad Muni, and he's instructing Yudhishthira on Vanashram Dharma. So he says that as a Brahmacharya, your duty is to serve the spiritual master. Right? And you develop a mood of firm friendship. Right? We're developing when serving the guru. It means with affection. Right? You serve the guru intimately. And you develop character because you have to be submissive. And when you develop submission, then you develop good character. This is the quality of a devotee. A devotee needs to develop good character. So Lord Chaitanya says there are 26 qualities of a devotee. What are the 26? Akrita Droha, Kripalu, Akrita Droha, Sachasara, Sama. Right? He gives 26 qualities of the devotee. Second quality is Akrita Droha, means non-defiant. And Prabhupada says that is humility. Humility means I will not defy you. In the material world, we want to defy everyone. That is the nature of the material world. I'm being defiant. I don't want to do what you say. That is the nature of the material world. I want to do what I want to do. But the nature of spiritual life is the opposite. You have to become dependent, not defiant, that you will follow the instruction of the spiritual master. So then, brahmachari life is to develop that mentality. That I am meant to follow the spiritual master and the spiritual master's representatives. Just like in Prabhupada's time, when Prabhupada was here, not so many people got association directly with Prabhupada. Many people could not directly associate, but Prabhupada set up a system that you would be trained and you would follow Prabhupada's representatives, the temple presidents, the GBCs, the sannyasis. That was Prabhupada's system. Most people in the 70s, in the 60s when Prabhupada's movement was small, people had intimate association with Prabhupada. But in the 70s, most devotees or disciples, they could not directly get association with Prabhupada, except when he was giving class or occasionally on a morning walk or something like that. But most of the time, you could not get to Prabhupada. It was not easy. So Prabhupada's system was that you would be trained by his representatives. And one time, one devotee said to Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, I can work with you, but I cannot work with him. Right? And Prabhupada said, if you love me, then you love my dog. Right? It means that if you follow me, you follow my representative also. That is the system. So brahmachari life is to develop that consciousness, that I am submissive, I am dependent, I will follow the authority. Because spiritual life is based upon one thing, right? Following authority. Krishnanu Shilana, Bhakti Uttama. Rupa Goswami's definition of pure devotional service is Anu Shilana. Anu means to follow. Right? So we make advancement in spiritual life when we begin to follow. Not when you're defiant, not when you want to be the enjoyer or the, but you need to be the follower. That is the system. And when you follow that system, then you advance in Krishna consciousness. So brahmachari is for that point. Brahmachari is to teach you how to follow the authority. How to develop, as Prabhupada says, spiritual qualities and good character. And if you develop that, then you can take that through the rest of your life. I know for myself, I was a brahmachari for 8 years. I lived here in the ashram most of that time. And still, the time as a brahmachari, that is carrying me in my spiritual life. Because that initial training gives you like a platform or a basis where you develop some character. That you are submissive to the guru. Right? You're surrendered to the instruction of the authority. Right? And you develop that implicit character that I am meant to follow. I am meant to serve. And then that stays in your consciousness. I am a servant. I'm meant to follow, and I'm meant to give my energy to Krishna. So that is the whole point. And then in Grihastha Ashram, many Grihasthas these days, you don't get the opportunity to be brahmachari or brahmacharini. If you have the opportunity to be brahmachari or brahmacharini, then do it. I always say to the devotees, so many young men and so many young women, they come around here. I say, join the ashram. It's the best thing you can do. Because then you have that training, and that training takes you for the whole of your life. If you don't have that opportunity, then I remember my spiritual master, Tamal Krishnamurti, says, he said, then you have to make up ground quickly. Because many of us did not go through the brahmachari ashram. We went straight into Grihastha ashram. Or we joined, and we already had 19 kids. So then you just have to take up Krishna consciousness straight away. But that means you have to make up that time. So Prabhupada says that the temples, they are spiritual training grounds or institutions. You're meant to get trained here in Krishna consciousness. So that is what the temple is for. It is a spiritual training field. So as a grihastha, if you come here, then you can get trained how to be, as if you're in the brahmachari ashram, how to advance in Krishna consciousness. Because then Prabhupada says, what is the system? The system is, at the end of your life, you're meant to become attached to Krishna. Prabhupada says very nicely, because it says in this verse, that this Bhagavatam is the Paramahamsa Samhita. There's a purport where Prabhupada has mentioned this. There's a famous phrase that Prabhupada uses. The Bhagavatam is for Paramahamsas. We're all meant to become a Paramahamsa. Actually, that's our goal. Even more than Vana and Ashram. Even more important than going through the Vana Ashram system is to become a Paramahamsa. That's the success of life. Now, what is the definition of a Paramahamsa? In the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, it says that the Bhagavatam is for those who are near Matsara. Matsara means? Envious. Yeah. So Prabhupada says here in the purport that you must become free from envy. So that is Paramahamsa, near Matsara. The Bhagavatam is for those who do not have envy in the heart. This is how you can measure your advancement in Krishna consciousness. This is how you can measure your success in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes we measure our success in Krishna consciousness by external indicators. Oh, I've made so many disciples. Or I have distributed so many books. Or I've opened so many temples. Which are glorious things. But that may not be an indicator of your actual Krishna consciousness. The actual indicator of your Krishna consciousness, have you become free from envy? Are you still envious of others? Or have those feelings of envy, have they been removed from your heart? Prabhupada explains that in the end of the third chapter in the first canto. He said you have to analyze your consciousness and see, have I become free from envy? That is the platform of a Paramahamsa. So we're meant to be going towards that. So then as a grihastha, Prabhupada explained, the system is, and we see in this section of the Bhagavatam, it explains to us that as a human being in this material world, how we're meant to go through the Varnashram system. Prabhupada says, at the end of your life, you have to renounce and become fully surrendered to Krishna. And the example is given here perfectly by Kardama Muni. He went through a grihastha ashram, and who was his son? Kapila. So that's a very interesting point. It's a wondrous point. You have a child. Most people want a child. Right? So then you have a child. Right? And your child happens to be God. And then you go and take sannyas. So then Prabhupada asks this question, as we all do. Why would you do that? Why wouldn't you have Krishna himself there, living in your ashram, and then you go and renounce, you go off to the forest? And Prabhupada explains to us that the reason is that Kardama Muni wants to show us the system of Varnashram, that at the end of your life, you should fully dedicate yourself to spiritual cultivation. So that is what all this is leading to. As a brahmachari, we're meant to train ourselves. There's different types of brahmacharis. One type of brahmachari is called naishtika. Naishtika means you never pass semen, you're perfect in brahmacharya, and you take like a vow that I will never associate with a woman. That's very exalted. But another type of brahmacharya is called upakravana. Upakravana brahmacharya means that it's a training field, and you know that you will go into the grihastha ashram. But you want to get trained. That is your desire. You want to purify your consciousness. So that by that training, you will be strong and successful later in life. So the whole Varnashram system is meant to take us through. But the ultimate goal is to become Paramahamsa. What does Paramahamsa mean? Free from envy. Yeah, that's the goal. The goal is to become free from envy. Paramahamsa. So then the whole system, as Prabhupada is explaining here, Paramahamsa refers to the most highly elevated perfectional stage of life. There are four stages within sannyas life, and Paramahamsa is the highest. The Bhagavatam is called the Paramahamsa Samhita. Paramahamsas are free from envy. In the householder stage of life, there is competition and envy, but since the activities of human life, being the Paramahamsa stage, are completely engaged in Krishna consciousness or devotional service, there is no... So that is our goal. Our goal is to become Paramahamsa. So it means that as we gradually go through the different ashrams, we're aiming to become completely free from envy, completely free of material desires, and completely dependent upon Krishna. So this section of the Bhagavatam teaches us that. Right? You see, perfect brahmacharya, Kardama shows us how to be like a perfect brahmacharya. Right? He was living in his ashram, fully fixed in devotional service. Then he shows us how to be a perfect grihastha. He gets his wife, but he only has sex life to have children. Right? And he fully focuses on spiritual life. And then, at the end of his life, he thinks, okay, now I have a children. Now I have children, everything is, all my material desires are fulfilled. Then I will go off and I will fully dedicate myself to Krishna. So he's showing us, going through the Varnashram system, how we should live. Now it's an important point to understand, and Jagatarini Mataji, I remember she explained this in a class a while back, that in the material world, you must fulfill your material desires. It's no use repressing them. If you repress your material desires, what will happen? Yeah, you'll die with that desire. Or in other words, it will come up again. It doesn't disappear. These things don't go away. Right? Bhagavatam explains this. As you go towards the 10th canto, you get to canto 9, or is it 8? I think it's 9. Then you see the pastime of Salvari. Right? And that the whole pastime is to show us this point. Right? The desire did not go away. Right? Such a strong ascetic, such a strong muni, such a strong sage, under the water. I think it's explained for 60,000 years. Like, just fixed. But then, saw the fish copulating, and the desire, it had not gone. It was there. So then he could not meditate anymore, forced by his desire to go back onto the land, went into the kingdom, into the palace of the king, and said, I need one of your daughters for marriage. And then the king had so many daughters, 50. And they were all attracted to him because he transformed his body by his mystic potency and made himself strong and virile so he could enjoy sex life. So then he married all 50. And then he had 10 children. Or is it 100 children? With each of the... Like that. So it ended up being like 5,000 kids. 5,000 kids. 50 wives, right? That will make you clinically insane. And then he became renounced. Right? He got it out of his system. So it's important. But this is our philosophy, and many devotees miss this point in our philosophy, or they don't understand this maturely or properly, this point in our philosophy. You have to fulfill your material desires. You can't repress them. Sometimes, I mean, when I was a brahmachari, you know, it was preached, you know, just stay brahmachari, just go as long as you can, just go as long as you can. That's not really a mature way to deal with the mature desires or going through the varnashram system. Right? Just go as long as you can. You may not be capable of going the whole way. When I was a brahmachari, I met one Prabhupada disciple named Rasa Mandala Prabhu, who was an educator within our movement, within our society. And then the way he explained the Brahmachari Ashram, it's like a training field. Like when you join a company, in the company you get training. And after the training, then they let you out. And okay, now you can go and do these things. So he was explained, as a Brahmachari, you have like assessment points. Just like when you're in a company, they assess you like quarterly or annually, they bring you in and they say, okay, what have you done? What are you doing? Where are you going? Like that. And then they assess your performance. So you need to have assessment points as a brahmachari. Okay, I'll do brahmachari life for 3 years. Then reassess. How is that going? Are you actually fixed? Or is the attraction to the opposite sex, is it too strong? So you have to assess these things. You have to, if you don't fulfill your material desires, then they will come back and they will cause problems for you in your spiritual life later on. So that is the system. You must fulfill your material desires. So Kardama shows us how to fulfill your material desires in a regulated way. Right? He had a wife. She wanted children. So then he fulfilled that desire for her, although the desire was not within him. And then he fulfilled it properly in a Krishna conscious way. And then when all the material... See, the beauty of the material world is that we're not meant to be here. So when you come here and you try to fulfill your material desires, the Bhagavatam explains, your material desires will be fulfilled, but not in a way that you'll ever want those things again. That's the nature of the material energy. Krishna will give you what you want. What do you want? He'll give you those things. And he'll give it to you in such a way that you won't want it again. That's the Bhagavatam. That's how Krishna deals with the material world. Hey, you want a wife and child? Yeah, have a wife and child. Yeah. But I'll give it to you in such a way that you'll think, in the back of your mind, you'll be thinking, when will this be over? When can I go and just fully dedicate myself to Krishna? And Krishna often does that to many devotees. You see, it's kind of like a rubber band. You know, when you pull back the rubber band, you pull it and pull it, pull it, it gets very strong, and then finally, you let it go. So I see with many devotees, Krishna holds them back, particularly in grihastha life. He keeps them a little distant from himself. And they have to be like that sometimes for years. Sometimes, I know some devotees, and they want to be more serious and dedicate more time to Krishna, but because of their family, their wife, their children, the whole situation, there's so many responsibilities, they can't get themselves fully at this point. So Krishna is like holding them back, holding them back, holding them back, holding them back. And then one day Krishna will say, okay, now, go. And by that time, the devotee will be sort of like intense. So Krishna does this to us. He fulfills your material desires, but not in a way that you will want the material things again and again and again. So we see here in this section of the Bhagavatam that material desires are being fulfilled, but in a regulated way. So this Bhagavatam, in this section, it's a very famous section, really it's showing us how to follow Varnashram Dharma, and in particular Grihastha Ashram, to become perfect. Because the goal of life is to become Paramahamsa. Very good. Yes. The goal of life is to become a person who is free from envy. Yeah. If envy is in your heart, then you stay in the material. That's the fact of the situation. It has to come out. And with envy, it stays there all the way. Very hard to rid yourself of envy. Even advanced devotees, it's still there in the consciousness. Right? And Prabhupada said, you have to study. Is it there? Is it there? Is it there? It doesn't just disappear quickly. Later on, then it disappears. But in the, it takes a long, long, long time. And it keeps coming back. And then you think, oh, I'm getting over it. And then it just comes back again. Very difficult to give up these things. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there are any questions or comments.
So you said that of the material desire has to be satisfied. But it's always that fear that by doing that you become more attached to other things. And one thing will bring another thing. Like how to be with it, how to approach it without fear.
So what's the point?
That usually when one fulfills one desire, the desire will bring another thing out that way. So how to deal without just being afraid of that?
That's the reality of the material world. You know, like the story is given of the sage had a pair of kalpins, and then he had two pair of kalpins. The mice was eating the kalpins, so then he had to get the cat, and then he had to get the cow, and then he had to get the wife, and then, you know, so you know the story. So that's the reality. The material world is dangerous. And the word street Stree means woman. Stree, the word literally means expansion. So it's just the nature of the material energy. And Prabhupada said, man is good, woman is good, but together they are bad. So you put man and woman together and then everything just expands, becomes more complicated, more involved. You need one car, now you need two cars. You know, now you need a helicopter. You know, just, that's what it becomes like in Grihastha. It's just like, it just expands and expands more and more. So it is dangerous. And Prabhupada says that we should have a healthy fear or healthy pessimism of the material energy. We have to be fearful of the material energy. And Prabhupada actually said one time, he said, if I have one criticism of my disciples, they do not fear Maya enough. They do not fear the material energy. So it's natural that we should feel like that. So, as you said, we need to fulfill our material desires. And we recognize that. But then we say, okay, now I need to do this. I need to fulfill this material desire. But now if I go into it, it's just going to become more complicated. So we're fearful of that. And that's the nature of the material world. The material world is full of fear. That's difficult. So you just have to do it. You have to navigate yourself through it. We're all doing it. Like, we're all in Grihastha. Many of us are in Grihastha, right? Yeah, we have wife, we have children, we have cars, we have helicopters, we have all these things. But we're navigating ourselves through it properly. And one purport last night in the 11th chapter of the 10th canto, Prabhupada says, if you want to be free of anxiety in this material world, ends up if you want to be free of anxiety in this material world. Come back next week and we'll tell you. Sure, Prabhupada ki. So if you want to become free, Prabhupada says that absorb yourself in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Because when you're hearing Bhagavatam, material problems, they go away. So even if you're in the Grihastha ashram and you have so many, you know, responsibilities and it's like that. I mean, myself, I'm in the Grihastha ashram, you know, wife, children. And sometimes it's like that. It's like, oh, there's this thing to do, and then there's that thing to do, and then there's that thing to do. And, it's like, and one thing, and sometimes you just feel like this is too consuming. But then you just come and you sit down, you forget everything, you just study Bhagavatam, it all goes away. So you need to take shelter in the material world. So it can be done. But it's difficult, as you say, that you have to do it. But then gradually you'll give up your material attachments by the difficulties you go through. Is that okay? You want to add anything? Any other questions? Basically, the question is that we can fulfill, there's four regulative principles, and illicit sex, we can regulate that in Krishna consciousness, but how do we regulate the other three, eating meat, taking intoxication, and gambling? Basically, I mean, from what I've seen since I've been a devotee, devotees don't struggle very much with the other three. You don't have devotees like, oh, I need to gamble, I need to gamble. And you don't see devotees like, you know, I need to eat meat. You know, oh, I need to take intoxication. I know for myself, those three I've never really thought about, ever. since I began to grow, I never thought I need to take intoxication. Intoxication may affect some devotees, because some devotees took intoxication before they came to Krishna consciousness, so they may struggle with that. And we see some devotees do struggle with that. There may be a difficulty. The other ones, generally not. Meat eating, I've never really come across devotees who have a desire for that. In gambling, it's very rare. Maybe occasionally some devotee has a desire. Usually it's not there. The main obstacle in the material world is sex life. So how do you regulate that? Then you get married and you have a regulated situation. How do you give up the other three? It's just by the principles of Krishna consciousness. Primarily, it's really through prasadam. Right? Because you don't want to eat meat. Right? So you have prasadam, you just never think of eating meat. Because prasadam is so relishable. Now, the first time I ever walked into this temple, they took me up there, and they gave me rajbhog, and gave me prasadam. And there's one devotee, his name is Jai Tirtha Charan, and he was there, and he fed me. You know, and he said, because I like to eat a lot, I'm known for that. So he fed me, you know, a big plate, and I ate the whole thing. And at the end, I think there was camphor sweet rice, I think, from memory. And then he gave me sweet rice, and he said, do you want more? I said, yeah, sure. More. So he said, do you want more? I said, yeah, sure. Just kept giving. So I said, no problem. And then I just thought, at the end, I just thought, wow, what's this place? You know, if you can do this every day, I'll just come with you. So you give up your desire for eating meat, you know, which we never think about, but you know, that desire is fulfilled by taking prasadam. Intoxication is fulfilled by taking prasadam. Because you don't need to satisfy your senses. Why do we take those things? If you do those things, it means you're feeling some emptiness in your consciousness. When you take prasadam, it fulfills all of that empty experience, and then you feel satisfied. So I would say just through Krishna consciousness, just through the basic program, the other desires will go away. Sex life's a little different, because sex life is much more prominent in our consciousness. That's what we struggle with. The other, we don't struggle. I've never struggled with the other three. Sex life we struggle with. Right? So therefore, that can be regulated. Okay, get married and do like that. So, any other question? Because in the seventh canto, then it is said Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam. So you're given nine types of bhakti. So the first is Shravanam, is hearing. And then if you read the purport, Prabhupada comments on each of the nine. And then Prabhupada says that Shravanam, there is active hearing and passive hearing. So active is what we're doing now. Someone is speaking, we go to a lecture. We listen to a lecture on the tape or something. And then passive hearing means that when you're reading, so you're just reading, there's no one else around, right? But Prabhupada is speaking to you like that, or the Bhagavatam is speaking to you. So both are the same. But then Prabhupada says, of the two, the active is more powerful. Generally, not always, but generally it is more powerful. Because you can read, but if you come to a class, you will learn so much more. Because then that devotee is giving you his realizations. Just like in the Bhagavatam itself, Shukadev speaks, and then the Bhagavatam, which is already there, comes to life. Because someone is speaking their realizations. So, but then if you're advanced in Krishna consciousness, you can read and you can get as much realization as going to a class by reading. Because you're reading Prabhupada's work. Both have equal potency, but generally Prabhupada says, on our level, the classes are more important. So sometimes devotees will ask the question, what do? I read or do I go to class? Then go to class. When you're more advanced, then maybe you can read. You can make the choice. It's okay? Srila Prabhupada. Ki.